This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Alex Strumminger. Alex, how are you?
Fine, Henrik. Thanks for having me again.
Alex, how are you involved with digital asset management?
Well, Henrik, you know, last time we spoke, talked a lot about the big enterprise rollout of the UNICEF digital asset management system. Mm-hmm. That was a big project. It was terrific the way it came off. But one of the things that wasn't happening then that's happening a lot now is the focus on transmedia storytelling. And this has shifted my focus and the focus of a lot of folks in that direction. And so one of the areas I'm working a lot on right now is the idea of storytelling supported by technology. I'm calling it Storytelling 3.0 to acknowledge the advent of semantic web and search and taxonomy and DAM-enabled technologies, and you got to include mobile and mobile apps in that as well.
How is storytelling supported by DAM?
Well, it's always been important. It's one of the most engaging things you can do as a human being, I think. If you're talking about engagement, you can point to the track record of stories as being the longest and best measurable forms of communication engagement out there. And that runs the gamut from, of course, the famous Star Wars franchise and its success. You go back 3,000 years and talk about the Iliad and the Odyssey. We're still talking about that 3,000 years later. I think that that's a measurable success. We're talking a lot more about storytelling now in the digital world. And, of course, storytelling, especially the storytelling as it supports brands, has to be done in a way where you can manage the story across the franchise. Everybody took a different kind of approach to how they did it, but it all required technology support, partly because there's a lot of digital assets involved now in storytelling. Mm-hmm. We're not squirting ink on paper like we did in the old days, and we're not even doing the digital form of that, which is the old web. We're doing a lot of rich layered media and managing a tremendous number of assets to make that happen. Mm-hmm. Heard one person talk about 80,000 pieces of video that had to be managed, and that didn't even include the metadata or the supporting brand assets. So digital asset management is needed to do that on this scale that we're trying to do it with brands, and especially global brands.
What is a co-creation network, and how does it fit with DAM?
Co-creation networks are things we talk a lot about these days, and essentially, the idea behind a co-creation network is if you have a group of people who are working on different kinds of product, sharing a similar story, and this could be for the Star Wars example, you know, we talk about transmedia being something that literally transcends different kinds of media. I don't know if transcends the word I'm looking for. It is transmedia. And it's transmedia in the sense that there's no uber story in any particular media. So it's not like, okay, well, I created the film, and the film's got all the bits in it, and we're just going to then repurpose those bits in these other places. You know, or I got the book, and I'm going to take all the stuff from the book. The idea in Star Wars, again, is a great example, is that there are bits that are in one area and other bits that are in other areas, and they don't quite overlap. Mm-hmm. But they share a common story, mm-hmm. and you can tell if they're wrong. And I'll give you a great example of that. You know, there's the Star Wars films. Which, you know, I'm a big fan of and watched all of them several times. And then there's the cartoon series about the Clone Wars, and then there's action figures and the product, and then there's comic books and the novels and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. 5 years old at the time, my stepson came in, and he was trying to throw off the yoke of the homemade costume. Mm-hmm. And so after a lot of battling back and forth, and a good effort on the part of my wife and I think, to try to do the homemade costume thing for a few years, we finally capitulated. And so one evening, he comes in with the costume catalog from the online store, or the mail order store. Yeah. And he's got this whole page. There's like six different bounty hunters that you can be in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And he names every single one of them.
Of course.
Well, I've seen every single one of the movies many times. I only knew the names of two of those. So this is a great example of how the uber story in transmedia isn't carried by one particular media type. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, literally in that sense, transmedia. Mm-hmm. In order to accomplish this, you have to have a co-creation network in the sense that you've got to have a network of people who understand the brand, understand the story, mm-hmm. and who are essentially stewards of that canon, so that you don't go over here and make that piece about the brand in the cartoon or mm-hmm. on the online thing or this video over here or an event in the physical world mm-hmm. and have it not be completely in line with the story. And this is how the network has to be brought together. And the role that DAM plays here is that this is a really difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the challenges span not just different kinds of skill sets with people doing different kinds of product, but they also span things like different localities. Mm-hmm. I may need to have this done in French, or I may need to have this done in Chinese. We have to make sure that that local translation works. Mm-hmm. And where do we keep all this stuff? In the dam. Mm-hmm. And the rights, the ability to use things for certain purposes, all that kind of stuff has to be put somewhere. Otherwise, this whole thing's going to become way too expensive. DAM supports the co-creation network in that sense.
So it sounds like brand consistency.
Brand consistency, brand protection, licensing. You know, you don't want to be shadowing the door of the lawyer's office all the time because you didn't know you couldn't use the product in China or whatever it is. In this sense, I think the co-creation is where the people, the creative people who are making the product, and all of the rules, the availability of the assets, their application, and who can do with what, come together. And that's technology-enabled. That makes us better and faster and more accurate than what we're doing, and hopefully cheaper.
And what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
Well, one thing that's really caught my attention recently that I think is super important, Zach Brand at NPR mentioned it as he railed against the monolithic, giant, one-size-fits-all system. Mm-hmm. We really want to avoid that kind of thing, and this has been a back-and-forth for various reasons. There have been times when a standardized platform has benefited the organization, but there's also a give-and-take with that. There's a cost, and I think that we're seeing now more bespoke or custom tools for particular creative tasks. And you don't want to force the creative talent to use a tool that's a one-size-fits-all and therefore going to compromise the quality of the product. I think more than anything else, we see that in the world of storytelling and in the world where brand engagement has to come through entertainment and storytelling, mistakes and lower quality products are noticed.
And so, in a negative sense.
Right. Yeah. And so in the sense that the technology of the co-creation network can support all the things that help us make use of the assets and find them and use them correctly and stay on story, at the same time, we don't want that technology that's helping us to get in the way of us doing quality work. Caitlin Burns at Starlight Runner talked to me a little bit about the idea of an arts and crafts approach to content creation, that you know, we really have to be craftsmen in order to make the kind of product that people are going to consume.
Sure.
And if you're going to be a craftsman, you're going to have the right tools. And I am seeing more and more custom tools being made. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Interoperability is still very important, right? So if we take away the monolithic system that's supposed to tie everything all together, how are we going to tie everything all together? Are we now back in our silos?
Right.
And we don't want to be that.
No.
So, what seems to be the approach that's working is the same kind of approach that worked for Web 2.0 in a lot of ways. You know, standards, APIs, interoperability. Mm-hmm. So if I've got a tool set over here that's working really good for the person who's curating my digital media video, and I've got another tool set over here that's working really well for somebody who's creating cartoons, so forth and so on, and one that's managing print assets, I don't want to force them to use one tool that doesn't do any of that quite as well.
True.
But I need them to talk to each other. I don't want redundant assets. I don't want redundant metadata. Mm-hmm. I want to tie it all together in case I need to bring something from here and something from over there together to create a product on the web or through an app or through, you know, any kind of place I want to be able to publish out the content. Mm-hmm. And we can do that by letting the systems talk to each other. We don't have to insist on the monolithic system. In fact, we're not dead in the water. We can take a very agile approach to this and knock out, you know, little things. Let's make this system talk to that system. We did this when I was at UNICEF, tying together taxonomy management with web search engines and web content systems. And basically creating APIs and letting them talk to each other, and it turns out you can do it. And everybody's happy because I didn't make the guy over here use something he didn't like, and the data's shared, and it works.
Awesome.
So that's something I think to keep in mind. Stay away from the monolithic, the bespoke system. Well, not necessarily bespoke. You can do an awful lot that's not bespoke but still custom these days. Mm-hmm. But just let them talk to each other and think about the process and the people involved.
Well, thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Henrik. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
For more on this and other digital asset management topics, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Another DAM podcast is available on Audioboo and iTunes. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.